If the drugs are there to take away consciousness, then to understand exactly what they're doing, we'd have to understand consciousness. And many philosophers and theoretical physicists and many smart people around the world called that the hard question. What's consciousness? How does it happen that a mushy bunch of molecules can organize itself into something, our brain, which can then become aware of itself and aware of the universe and become conscious? So because we don't really understand that, I guess you'd have to say we can not really understand what our drugs are doing in our body in terms of administering a general anesthetic.
Tell me about accidental awareness. What is it exactly?
Accidental awareness is where someone becomes conscious during an intended general anesthetic. So what we tell the patients when they're about to have a general anesthetic is that we're going to put them to sleep, although general anesthesia and sleep are actually different states. But we tell the patient, you're going to go to sleep and we'll wake you up at the end of the operation. And so they should have no awareness, no consciousness for the whole operation. But unfortunately, things can sometimes go wrong and people can become aware at times when we meant them to be unconscious. And even worse, some of the other drugs we give during a general anesthetic to stop movement can make you completely paralyzed. So patients can become aware and be unable to communicate that and unable to let the people around them know that they're aware. And even worse than that, the patients may be suffering and even in a lot of pain at the same time. So yes, we've jumped into what essentially is a failure of general anesthesia when someone becomes accidentally aware in the middle of the operation.
And is it common?
Fortunately, no, it's very uncommon. We like to think it's becoming less common because we have some tricks we can try to use to prevent it happening. You'll find about 1 in 1,000 people have some memory. But a really big study in the UK recently, they worked out that it's only about 1 in 20,000 anaesthetics does someone actually complain that they were aware. So that's pretty uncommon, 1 in 20,000.
What is the effect of this kind of experience on a person? How does it affect them afterwards?
Well, it can range from someone having a memory but being completely unperturbed by that. Some of the drugs we give are very euphoric, and in fact, they can be a problem because they can be addictive. And so if there is still some of that drug effect around and the person's not experiencing pain, then they might just have a fairly neutral experience and they remember and they say that was interesting. And that can range right through to, as I said, if a person is lying there in agony, especially for an extended period of time, then that can be a life-changing experience. And post-traumatic stress disorder is an obvious problem there. They might have flashbacks to that experience. It might colour their whole emotional life for the rest of their life in the worst case scenario. By the way, it's not just pain. It's also that paralysis. For some people, that feeling of being unable to move, they feel they can't breathe. And at first, they don't know what's going on as well. So it doesn't have to be painful to be a very fearful and traumatic experience. It certainly can make people afraid of coming back for surgery, and they might decline a medical treatment, which they would otherwise have had because of their horrible experience they had. So in the worst case failure, it's a pretty bad thing, yeah.
But otherwise you would recommend anaesthesia, right?
Oh, absolutely. We give it every day. Most patients come not being particularly fearful. Some patients have heard about these experiences and are worried. I had a patient who happened to tell me that she'd had this experience of awareness in a previous operation, and I asked her, does it make you afraid of coming along? And no, she was happy to come, and she accepted she needed the future surgery and was very happy that we were there to offer it to her.
Is anaesthesia more than just like one drug that knocks you out?
Absolutely. There's a bunch of recipes we can use, and some drugs that we give are more directed towards blocking painful stimulation, and other drugs are more directed towards just making you unconscious. And those drugs can be given at different levels. In small doses, you just become relaxed. You might stop remembering things. You might become quite euphoric. And then you might become quite difficult to rouse, but still rouseable. And then with higher doses, you become completely unrouseable and unconscious. So there's a whole range of effects. Another interesting thing that we wonder about is, if I give you a drug that makes you completely unconscious but don't give any other drugs to block the pain pathways, then some of those pain pathways in your body are still working. And in fact, some of them might be screaming the nerves from the body going into the spinal cord and going up towards the primitive parts of the brain, they might still be working at full bore. So it's possible to have someone unconscious but not be blocking those pain pathways. And then we wonder, well, could that have an effect later on, even though you're not aware of it, even though you don't remember it? Could that change your brain or your body in some way afterwards? Well, these are very difficult questions to be certain about.
Well, you tell us that we don't know much about consciousness, but what can anesthesia tell us about consciousness?
The first thing it tells us, it's a bit more evidence that consciousness is produced by the brain, because we know the drugs work on particular receptors, on particular nerves in the brain. And I'm not an expert in these areas, but anesthesia has particular effects on particular parts of the brain. So we know that some parts of the brain seem to be necessary to arouse the brain. So there's some parts of the brain in the midbrain, the deep primitive parts, that need to be active in order to, if you like, wake up the cortex, the modern parts of the brain that humans have the most of, and that's what keeps us conscious. So anesthesia helps us there. And then there are all those graded effects. So as we see certain parts of the brain come on and off, we know that certain parts of our consciousness come and go. There's a question about memory and how much that's tied up with consciousness. A patient can be interacting with you and even talking to you and having sensible conversations and yet have no memory of it afterwards. So our drugs do tell us that memory and consciousness are not the same thing.
You seem really fascinated in anesthesia. It's not just a job for you. Why is that?
You can take anesthesia just as a job, and you can quickly lose sight of how remarkable it is that we don't just induce unconsciousness, we do it in a reversible way so that it can come back again. And most of these drugs were just found by trial and error. There's never been anyone that sat down and said, well, I know how consciousness works, so if I design a drug that does this, it'll take it away. It's kind of amazing on a day-to-day basis that we can take away this essential part of our humanity and then bring it back at the end of sometimes a very long operation. And the person seems to reboot and come back to be the same person as they were before.